So it is October 10th, 2012. I'm speaking here with Tony Fabian. My name is Eric Damer. Tony, thank you very much for the interview.
I'm very pleased to be here.
So Tony, you are well known in conservation circles here in Burnaby. Could you maybe just tell us when you came to Burnaby and where you were in Burnaby?
Well, when I first came here, this was the first place I visited Burnaby many years ago, before that in the 40s, but I never realized what it was. But I came here, moved here. We bought this place in 1957 in May, and I moved in here in June.
And this is on Dawson Street?
This is Hardwick Street. It had a different number then, but it was 3330 Hardwick, and now they changed the numbers. Or then they changed it a few years later, but it was just a little shack, really, on the ground, sitting on logs, no foundation. We had a ditch out in the front, and water pressure would go down in the summer when the great use was. And
it was municipal water, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was septic tanks, and of course that was a problem. And yes, it was it was full of rocks, of course. Here, this is sort of a glacial till that's the whole area is made up of, and so you have nothing but rocks when you're digging, but the soil is good once you able to get into the soil.
How many neighbors did you have?
Had pretty well the same amount of neighbors. In fact, I think there were more children around than there certainly are now. You got bigger houses now with less children, but the lots here were pretty well, most of them were filled, not as spacious and large as they are now, but they were a little smaller houses, you know, 600 square foot type of shacks and flat roof things and so forth, and then they built onto it and up, just like I did. And then finally, years ago, they disappeared, and I was the one who, I'm the one of the very few who was still on the street here. In fact, I'm just the only second person here, second oldest person on the street here.
And you mentioned you had a big yard that you planted.
Well, yes, I still have that. I have a half acre which I bought at the time. It goes back to another street.
Do you remember what you paid for it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think it was around $11,500, which was I bought it at the peak of that time, because then it collapsed, prices collapsed, and it didn't come back to that price till about... let's see, it was 57 till about 1965 before my value was worth anywhere near what I paid for it, you know. So went through it, and I was very disappointed at the time. And it was hard work. As I said, there was very little water. There was no machinery available other than handwork. And I was determined to make a garden for myself. I couldn't live otherwise. I had to live off the garden.
And what things typically did you grow?
I literally, coming from a farm and a farm area, like out and lived out in Richmond, so I literally grew everything that I was familiar with, you know, and had to learn the soil here, of course, to what I could do with it compared to Richmond.
What sort of things, like vegetables mostly?
Oh, I grew just everything. I found out here you couldn't grow root crops so well, other than potatoes, but the rest of the stuff was like corn and spinach and all the leafy vegetables, just as provided you were able to fertilize it. And this is where my old friend, the farmer down on Still Creek, comes in. He'd bring a load of manure,
right,
and he'd dump it off for me, and I'd spread it around, and then it would grow. I'll have some pictures for you to show.
Sure, sure, I'll look at those. Yes. And how about animals? Any farm animals?
Yeah, well, my neighbors there, they had animals. They had chickens and other things. And then a few doors away, they had goats.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were, he was an old-timer, and he had a dozen or so of goats. I used to go there and help him with him as goats, and they were neat. The city was very reluctant to, well, they wouldn't allow you to grow any there unless you already had them before the new bylaws came in. Then they let the people carry on with them, like with the goats. Bureaucracy was quite stiff in those days. They used to come down and they didn't care. They just get it out of here or we'll find you type of attitude. They were not as friendly. Maybe it was because I caused it that way, because I would... talk back to them, you know, and I learned it took didn't take very long for me to learn to be nice to them, and maybe I can get some nice response from them too.
So you dropped some photographs off of the archives that showed, I think it was a boy with a horse pulling the plow.
Oh, the little boy, animals? Yeah, the young boy there, I called him the plow boy because he would was handle the reins, while my old friend, he was an old squatter down there by Steel Creek. I wrote a poem about him, and if you like it, I'll get you one. And I told him that he used to come up, and he was the last to use horses. He was a well-educated man from the Isle of Guernsey or something, but he ended up here. And he'd go around with his team of horses and plow your garden if you had enough room. And he'd cut
fertilize
hay.
At the same time.
Yeah, and he'd cut hay on the vacant lots and for his own animals. And yeah, big Clydesdales they were. And I liked him because I liked that farm bit, and it was a very poor guy, you know. I mean, he just didn't have anything. Chickens went in inside the house, and yeah, and in out of the house. He had no, of course, just one tap in it and one light bulb, and that was his house. And I became his good friend, and we helped each other.
Now, you were saying that from a very early age, you had sort of a conservation ethic, that you liked natural places.
Yeah, like from the Saskatchewan there as a little small guy, there were some very nice places that I've seen. And I used to go, you know, as a 5-6 years old, go and visit these places. And, you know, they were not, you know, walking distance from the farm, maybe a half a mile or so. And I liked them. And even here, when I moved to Burnaby, some of our ravines, and especially the river, I used to always go down to the river, which was totally undeveloped, like the foreshore, you know.
This is the Fraser River.
Fraser River. And I was going down there when you couldn't hardly get down there with a car, you know. You really had to pick your weather to get down there. And
what did you do down in the foreshore? Did you just like exploring or fishing? Or?
I would go down there, and I tried fishing, and I realized there was not much to catch around there because there was so much debris dumped in the river there by different people who hauled barges up to the river there and dumped things and scoured the foreshore. So there wasn't much to catch there other than catfish, maybe. But I'd like to go down there because you're at the bend of the river. That's why they call it the Big Bend. And certain tugboats would come down there, and tugboats, some of them that I knew. And when my kids were small, and I'd take them into the box, and I'd take them down to the river, and I said, come listen to the black bear. So they thought it was a real bear. No, I said, it's the tugboat, he's coming. I think he's coming on the river now. I didn't see the boat, but I could tell by the sounds that it was an old diesel. It was an old wooden tugboat. Sure enough, he'd come around the bend of the river and toot the horn, and kids just thought that was the greatest. So I went after the city for years, trying to get him to set aside the foreshore for a park, which eventually came about, but it took a lot of time.
Any other areas? I mean, you're not too far from Steel Creek. What was the state of Steel Creek when you...
Well, Steel Creek was certainly abused because they used it as a... As a sewage dumping by Vancouver was a drainage and sewage system that was the Steel Creek. So they used to come out every few years, and then they used to dredge it with the backhoe type of machinery, and they would straighten it all out and everything. And of course, that's not the way a stream lives. You know, a stream has to meander, and it has to have brush around it, and they cleaned it all off and made it straight, and it was stinky. Because of the sewage, and it of course went into Burnaby Lake, and it stunk too, had a different aroma, put it that way. And
did anyone use Steel Creek for swimming, say?
Well, no, they kept away from that. I went into Burnaby Lake, but knowing about it now and the different stuff that went in there, I shouldn't have gone in there, but I did go in there, and I'm still alive. So, but it was a. It was an inky water, you know, because of the peat that was there. And not too many people could get there. You had to know trails that were in there. So not many people were able to get to Burnaby Lake.